What's up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 100. This is unreal to get here. I mean, I know it was only a matter of time, but when you start a podcast, you really don't know how long it's going to go or how well it's going to do or anything like that. I just want to say how thankful I am to those of you who have even been listening just for a few episodes, or if you're brand new, thank you so much for tuning in. There is 100 episodes of gold on Instagram marketing about to be laid out once I get done with this one, and they're all free, and I hope you listen to them not only once, but multiple times, and I hope they bring your business success. Thank you so much to those of you who have listened to every single episode. If you have listened to every single episode, I'd like to personally thank you. So please DM me at IGM Secrets and let me know if you have. But guys, on today's episode, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun episode. And what I had to realize probably around episode 50 or so with my delivery on the podcast is that when I'm doing a podcast, I kind of was delivering as if I was talking to a ton of different people at one time. And I am. But in reality, right now, it's just you and I that are here. You may be driving and it's just you and I, or maybe you got a car full of people. Maybe you're at home and there's a very solid chance that you're listening to it by yourself. You probably are. And once I realized that it was better for me to do my podcast just talking me to you, I started doing better and it was a little bit easier to deliver without being like, hey guys, everyone. Like if I was doing a public speech, it's a little bit different, right? But why I bring that up is because I am gonna have a couple drinks while I record this episode. By a couple drinks, I just mean like multiple drinks poured into one cup. It's just like a triple, basically. And I'm doing it because I just want this to be a relaxed episode. And if during this episode, we're gonna be talking about some real shit, we're gonna be talking about how to really be an entrepreneur. It's not going to be Instagram focused today, but I'm going to let you in a little bit more about my life and where I am personally at in my entrepreneur journey and some stuff I wish I would have known. I will tell you now, it's going to be a more explicit episode just naturally. It's episode 100 and it's and I'm really proud of myself for getting here, but I'm also wanting to just have fun with you guys and let you get to know me more. So if you want to grab a drink with me, great. If you're driving, you know, get a brown paper bag. But otherwise, what we're going to be learning about is why you're not a successful entrepreneur yet. And we're going to go over three major things. And I'm not going to do any ads on today's episode, but let's go ahead and turn the music off. There we go. All right. Now this is a little more intimate. So guys, we're talking about three things today. And I also want to let you know that at the end of this episode, I'm going to be running a giveaway for coaching calls with me for free to three lucky winners. So stay tuned to the end of the episode. You can even just see in the description now how you can enter for that. But as my way of giving back to you guys for listening, I'm going to be choosing three people to get free one-on-one coaching calls. I say they're an hour, but they always last an hour and a half because I just love working on your business with you and it always is a fun conversation. So it pretty much always goes long. I'm done saying it's an hour now. It's pretty much it's like always an hour and a half. So yeah, three of you are going to be winning that for free. Just details to enter in the description. So the first thing we need to talk about of what you need to be an entrepreneur, and it's going to sound like a cliche tip at first, but bear with me here. Let me dive into it. You have to be willing to embrace hard things. Not even just willing to embrace hard things is that that's all you want to do. Like you don't even like things that are easy because entrepreneurship is the hard road. A lot of people try to spell it out like it's easy and it might be easier once you get it automated. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's always the harder road, guys. It is difficult. All right. There are few things in entrepreneurship that are get rich quick and sustainable. There's probably like pretty much none that are get rich quick and sustainable. There might be some get rich quick things, which that in recent years, basically, if you started selling on Amazon FBA 10 years ago, you're probably doing just fine. You could have put water bottles on there and literally did nothing to the listing and been totally fine. If you bought Bitcoin in 2017 at the beginning of the year or before, yeah, you got rich. Well, probably might have not even been quick, but you got rich freaking easily. But again, wasn't sustainable unless you pulled out and you're like really active at trading now. But for the most part, guys, entrepreneurship is saying that I'm going to solve one of the world's problems and they're going to pay me for it is how good I am at solving it. And that's really all it is. At the end of the day, you are getting paid by the size of the problem that you can solve. And when you solve small problems, which are much easier to solve, or even you're solving a problem that other companies have already solved, you're just kind of like, oh, we'll do drop shipping. I'll offer the product as well. I'll just take some of the sales in that market. Then absolutely you can make it happen, but it's not good for me to tell you that that's a good path to take. Because it's very unlikely that you're just going to find, you know, that winning product that somehow had a blaring niche. A lot of people want to be entrepreneurs nowadays. And for that reason, because there's such an influx of people who are like, you know what, screw the 9-to-5. I want to live the laptop lifestyle. That means that you're naturally going to have like more competitors, but most of them suck, right? Most of them suck. Most of you listening right now probably suck. Hey, I kind of suck too. And that's fine, okay? Because that it's hard. We're supposed to suck. You're supposed to suck for a while. And that's going to be like kind of a theme throughout the episode because it's just true. If you are enduring a new entrepreneurial challenge or even a new job, like even if you take a new job, if you got a new job at McDonald's, let's say, you're probably not going to be really good at the job for, we'll say like 2 or 3 months. You're going to have a lot of learning curve. You're going to find out a lot of weird customer requests that you don't know where the button is on the cashier. And you're going to have a learning curve. And entrepreneurship is basically saying, I want to have a 2 to 4 year learning curve, typically, like a hard learning curve of the first few years. And most people give up after about 6 months because they're not used to taking that long to be good at something. And that's just kind of how it goes, all right? It's just enduring it long enough. Like, I really like to look at entrepreneurship or just the choices we make in life are essentially like different mountains. And entrepreneurship is essentially looking at Mount Fuji or we're looking at, you know, Everest. And it's just like, that looks so difficult to climb. But I bet the view at the top is so much better than the other ones. And I might break my leg on the way there. I'm a lot more likely to get hypothermia on, you know, trying to scale Everest. I'm a lot more likely to break a leg. And a lot, you're going to have much bigger problems when you try to take on Everest than if you try to take on like a small hike in your area. And it's just a risk or reward thing is literally what it is. And it's the harder it is, the riskier it is, and the higher the reward will be. And most people aren't able to just fathom that you want it to be hard, okay? So if you're someone who's like, whenever there's like an 8 mile hike with an amazing payoff, I take it, you probably have just some natural entrepreneur DNA in you in that, look, the same amount of time is going to pass. I'm going to eventually die anyways. Fuck it. Let's just do the hard path because I know how much easier or how much cooler it's going to be if I can make it, and it's going to be a cooler story. So I know what I'm talking about right now seems a little bit obvious, but I need to bring it up because you're not doing it. Most people are not making choices like this in life. So let me talk about the podcast for a second. So obviously I'm doing episode 100 right now. How many people do you think start a podcast that make it to episode 100? Probably far less than like 1 out of 1,000, really, you know, but probably even less than that. You know how many one episode podcasts there are? You don't, because you don't hear about them. But if you go looking for them, like on Anchor especially, you're probably going to find a bunch of people who got an idea, who recorded a 4 minute podcast episode, and that was the last they did of it. And how many people think to start a podcast and actually start it. It's even less of them. I have come out with at least one episode every single week since I started, and that is not easy. It is very difficult to come up with enough content and get it out every week by like Tuesday, Wednesday. I've pretty much come out with all of them on the Tuesday or Wednesday and deliver, you know, 30 plus minute episodes that people actually give a shit about and get it published, get it edited, and make it happen every single week without fail. And there's a couple weeks where I almost didn't do it, but I knew that was really important to me. And if I needed to stay up really late to make it happen, I did, because it didn't matter that it was difficult. I wanted to have that accomplishment under my belt. And here I am, not feeling the fatigue of all of those little moments that I almost didn't publish an episode, right? Like those nights where I'm like, oh, it's so late, I don't want to edit. Like if I can just wait a few more days, or you know what, maybe I'll just like skip an episode this week and I'll come out with this one next week. Like it's so, that thought ran through my mind so many times because it would have been so much easier. But then I'd be letting you guys down, because I know a lot of you do wait like for the new episode every week, and I'd be letting myself down most importantly, because otherwise I would have just had to say I've come out with an episode every single week except for one, and I don't want to say that. So embrace that it's hard, because the reason why it's so important on an entrepreneurial level, why you embrace things that are hard, is because that's the only way that you can protect your business. When you do easy business opportunities, even if it works at the beginning, the reason why it's not sustainable is because if it's easy, then the market floods that opportunity and then it's no longer easy. When you do hard things like course creation, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've ever thought of like making digital courses, it's very difficult with the amount of work you have to do, as well as like, you know, following up with students after they're like already in your program and making sure they get success and fine tuning your program. And the marketing of it is much harder than selling water bottles, right? Like it's just so much more marketing to be able to sell people on thousands of dollars worth of just investing in their education with you. And that's largely why I got into the market. Honestly, I knew it would be freaking hard, and I wanted to protect myself, because my business opportunity before that was Amazon FBA, and I still do it. But we came out with a product that was just crushing it at the beginning. It crushed it for like, I don't know, 7 months, and then it was okay. And then it had some like spurts of being like good again, like, you know, during quarter four. And but because it's not hard to buy products from China and send them to Amazon, when we got in, not a lot of people were in it. 7 months later, a lot of people were in it. And that is what made me realize that being okay choosing the hard road is not just about, oh, you're going to grow in the process. It's about when you can do the hard thing, you get rid of so much competition immediately. Like the barrier to entry is so much higher that so few people are going to go into that niche. And that's really how you find these niches that are hard to dominate and own, is the ones that people are likely not doing, right? Like that's why like in Amazon FBA, after a few years, people are like, hey, no one wants to buy the expensive oversized products. And for that reason, there's a big market for like, if you buy like giant stuffed teddy bears, like let's go ahead and do that, because no one's buying them. Like, you know, like things like that emerge. Like the next level of difficulty emerges after the initial gold rush has happened. And it's very hard. Like I'm all about like hitting the gold rush when you can. But for the most part, most of you probably heard about Bitcoin when it was too late, like I did, right? It was like, it peaked like 2017 December. I'm like, all right, I'm buying some. And then it just crashed right after. I was like, damn it. I turned like $1,000 into like 150 like real quick. And it's because I had missed the gold rush and I was like, ooh, easy opportunity. And easy opportunities just usually don't work out. If you can be the one to discover the easy opportunity, great. But the thing is if you were looking at Bitcoin in 2016, when you don't know that it's going to boom, then you don't know, all right? Like, in hindsight, it's always 2020. We can be like, oh, I should have bought Bitcoin, of course. Of course you should have bought Bitcoin in 2015, 2016, but you probably heard about it, and you didn't for some reason. It's because it's very hard to know what truly is one of those, like, easy money makers. But if you pursue those, like, if you're just kind of always looking for them and ready, you'll probably find some in your life. But really, the only way to protect yourself fully is to do something hard that other people are not willing to do, which is just entrepreneurship in general, okay? Don't let anyone tell you it's easy. And if you go into it thinking it's easy, you're going to get 3 months in and be like, I thought this was going to be easier than this, and you're going to quit. But if you go into it thinking it's hard, it's probably going to be a little bit easier than you were thinking, all right? So go into it with the opportunity the mindset of, I don't mind if this is hard, but I'm going to be in it to win it. Let me get a drink and we will continue.
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
Cheers if you got one. So the next thing that you need is the ability to laugh at your failures. Failure is inevitable, and I don't even like to use that word. Like, I need to find a different word, because, like, failure, it doesn't, when we talk about it, it sounds so bad. Like, it sounds so terrible. Like, oh, I bought this product, and then it didn't sell, and I failed. Like, it's just, then I recouped, I basically liquidated my inventory at the cheapest cost and reinvested in something else, and that was a success. Like, that's how it looks. Like, failure never looks like failure when you follow it up with a success. If you let the failure be the thing that rules you out, is the only time that you'll feel like failure, because you quit on a fail. You want to quit while you're ahead, really. Like, and even then, you're probably not going to quit if you're ahead in entrepreneurship. But the only time that people feel like a failure is when they quit when they fail. And you quit when you fail when you have the wrong mindset about it. And this is something that I've been really good about, because I just fail so fucking much. And it's so funny to me, okay? It's so funny when shit goes wrong. So let me just, like, give you guys a little bit insight. Like, this last month, like, 3 terrible things happened to me in the last month. I won't say terrible, because they weren't, like, deaths or whatever, but just to sum it up in, like, the quickest way possible, my cat ate an Advil, or I'm, like, pretty sure she did. I had to, like, go get her stomach pumped and all this shit, just based off of, like, a hunch that she did, because you have to, like, treat it immediately. That was a couple grand, and that happened at, like, 12:30 at night, and she was there for, like, a couple days, and, you know, it was a pain in the ass. The second thing that happened is I had an Airbnb guest come, because, you know, I'm like, oh, how can I make more money? And I'm like, I got a spare room, just fucking turn it into Airbnb, why not? Turn that on. Some ex-convict booked the room under a different name than their real name, and then brought their boyfriend, and basically had to deal with a domestic violence charge that happened from my Airbnb guests while they were staying at my house, and had cops over and all that stuff, just to make like $40 for the night that they were staying there, because I'm like, yeah, I might as well monetize this room. And yeah, domestic violence with my Airbnb guests, don't like it. Third thing that happened was, okay, here's another thing. So, like, I'm, like, working just from home, and I have, like, a pretty good car, like, pretty nice car, because I was a drive everywhere salesman. So I, like, invested in, like, a nice car, because I was just in it all the time. And I've just been, like, at my laptop for weeks and, like, barely driving my car except for, like, small trips. And then I heard of this service, like, my buddy's doing this thing called Turo. It's T-U-R-O. Where you just, like, rent out your car. He's got, like, a Tesla, and he's like, yeah, if I'm not working, I can make, like, $80 renting that thing out in a day or whatever, and it's, like, fully insured. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I rented it out, and, like, after a few people of renting it out, someone totaled it, like, 2 days ago. Like, they pulled up with it, and it's just fucked up. Like they just like I'm that car. It's like it can drive, but yeah, it's like messed up. And all of that was so funny to me. Okay, because it's not just about entrepreneurship. It's like everything in your life. If you can get good at just finding the funniness in all of this, because all I wanted, dude, I'm an extrovert. I'm like, awesome. Story, story, story. Now I got stories galore. Like right now, when I hang out with people, I got stories galore right now. And I make their problems seem small. And guess what? They're crying about their problems and I'm laughing at mine, because to think that these problems are, oh my God, the universe is only doing this to me and not everyone else, is just being unaware that everyone is going through shit all the time. Everyone has shit being handed them all the time. And what you might not see on social media is that shit. And you just need to know that everyone's going through it in some capacity. And it's good that we all appreciate that each other are going through it and help each other through it. But at the same time, we also want to know that our pain is usually not special. And it's hard to help other people out, if that's important to you, when you are stuck on your own pain. And the easiest way to just get over these failures or this shit that happens in life is to just be like, this is kind of funny. Like this is kind of funny that like we had an Airbnb guest to try it out and like domestic violence. Like, yeah, that's not funny, but it's just like kind of like crazy. Like, yeah, we tried to monetize the room and I don't think we're going to do it anymore. Then I tried to monetize my car and make an extra, you know, 50 to 80 bucks a day just while I'm sitting here on my laptop. I'm like, cool, that will cover some of my ad spend. I'm not driving it. Pff, car wreck, cat, I might as well get one. Pff, fucking $2,000 at the vet within like a month of getting her. You know, it's just like, we're all going to die someday. So it's just kind of funny, right? Like, it's just kind of funny when you think about it. Like, because like all that shit could happen in a movie. And if the characters are Jim Carrey and, you know, like Will Ferrell, it's probably going to be a hilarious movie. But if the characters are like the chick from Twilight and the guy from Twilight, you know, it's basically like Twilight characters, they're going to fucking be like, my life sucks, you know? And it's just like, this shit's happening to you. Are you living in a comedy movie or are you living in a drama? And it's all about your mindset, because the same amount of shit is usually happening in both scenarios. When you watch a comedy movie, they go through the same amount of shit as the people in these dramatic movies. And all the difference is how they are responding to it. So it's kind of a weird thing, but I kind of like to think like on my deathbed, how will I look at this situation? And it's usually like, that'll be funny. You know, like when I'm at a retirement home or just old and like just chilling, you're going to be left with your thoughts and your memories. And I don't want to look back and just have all of these. And then I could have pursued this risk, but I chose not to, so that I could be safe. And now I have no memory from it. Like, it's just, I've always chosen the hard thing because the failure is funny to me. And the other side of when you actually do get successful, because it does happen, of course, like inevitably, if you always choose the hard path, it will pay off at some point. And like, and it will just get more and more consistent at paying off for you because you're used to just pursuing the hard path. And obviously that's going to lead to more mental toughness and way more skills, always choosing the tougher path. But if you can't laugh at your failures, then it's going to be really hard that every time you fail, it's a dramatic experience. And that's when quitting happens. So just know, like, I don't know, like every time I launch like a new course or a new webinar, it's just like fingers crossed. If this works, awesome. If it doesn't, it's going to suck for a second. It's also going to be funny because I'm going to be like, oh my God, I know what I did wrong. And then I'm going to fix it and I'm going to fix it. 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 And I never even thought about quitting because I'm trying to hike Mount Everest and the only way to get there is going up. And I'm not looking back down at the foothills thinking, how long would it take me to just go back right now? How much would I be losing? I've already gotten so high on the mountain. I could just call it quits now. Most people have those thoughts. I've been blessed to whatever part of DNA that I have that helped me out with entrepreneurship is that I don't even fuck around with those thoughts at all. I don't even think about, oh, well, what if I just quit? And then, you know, this would be my excuse to people when I talk about it. Like, I just haven't thought of that. And I encourage you to get that same kind of thing, that same kind of mindset, but you will have to adapt all three of the things that I'm talking about in today's episode. Which brings me to my third point. Let's get another drink. If you got a cup on you, cheers. And the third point is you have to have patience, because it's so, like, when you get a business idea too, it's so annoying to not be able to just do it instantly, right? Like, when I have an idea for, like, oh my God, I want to do this ad, and then, like, I could have a webinar on this, like, I know I'm, like, 6 weeks away from having the webinar done and, like, the emails done and the funnel done and the marketing and the ads and the retargeting ads. To have, like, all of that done and ready to, like, launch a new program takes a long time, like, at least 6 weeks. Like, if I'm building a new program too, it's going to be more like a couple months. And in business, when you're an entrepreneur, you're going to have a lot of epiphanies, okay? Being an entrepreneur basically means that you're just someone who has epiphanies all day. And I fucking love that, okay? And a lot of, and like all of them have merit to the idea. Not all of them turn out being a good idea, and you'll realize why later if you act on them and figure it out yourself. But there's so many, you just have good ideas all the time. Whether they end up being good or not, it doesn't matter. You're just like, oh my God, like all day. Like, this is like what I feel like entrepreneurship is I just like literally have epiphanies all day. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to act on it. But it takes time to act on it, and it takes persistent doing it every day. And it takes knowing that it won't be done in the day, but I'm going to do it the right way. And I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do my to-do list. And then I'm going to enjoy myself during the process. And then tomorrow I'm going to wake up and do the same thing. And that's also, if I was going to have a fourth point, it's the ability to enjoy yourself during the process. Because while you're doing hard things, while you are failing, and while you are being patient, you have to be happy. I'm gonna add this as a fourth section. Fuck it. I'm gonna add it right now, okay? Well, we're gonna talk about it in a second, but like, enjoying the process is the fourth thing. Because otherwise, it just seems like, why do it just for money, you know? Because it's like, you won't care about money that much once you start making a lot of it, or like, you know, even a decent amount. You'll love it, and it'll be so nice. Like, if you're financially strapped and you're like trying to get out of debt and stuff like that, yes, it's very necessary. But, you know, there's like that stat, and I don't know how much I buy into it, but like, I think there's some merit to it of like, you know, happiness is capped at like 70 grand a year or something like that. And maybe, who knows about the number, but either way, I do believe that stat is true, because there is a point where you just like have more money than you could spend. Like, if you're like a real top entrepreneur making like $1 million a month, which I'm not at that level. But you know, I could imagine that it's just, it's not about the money at that point anymore, right? So knowing that, like, if you do entrepreneurship to pursue money, you're going to be chasing a rainbow with no pot of gold at the end, even though I guess there will be, ironically, in the form of money, but it won't be what you truly were chasing. You need to have some other things that you're chasing in the process apart from just trying to be rich. Otherwise, yeah, you're just going to be disappointed in the end. Back to just talking about patience, there's a Jim Rohn quote that he says, never worry about the time it takes to do something. The time is going to pass either way.
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com, or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
And like I said, guys, it usually takes a couple years to be a significant entrepreneur. I won't even say successful. I mean, like, significant in any form. You usually have to stick with it for a couple years. Like, the first year, you're going to think you know what you're doing, and then you're going to suck. The second year, you're going to know, maybe I don't know that much of what I'm doing, and then you're going to be a little bit better. The third year, you're going to be like, man, I really don't know what I'm doing. And then you're going to do a little bit better, though. Because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And only brand new entrepreneurs think they don't have that much to learn. But as you go and as you start learning stuff, you realize, oh my God, this is going to be an ongoing learning process. It is truly an ongoing learning process. I consistently watch more YouTube videos, read more books. I read about a chapter a day, like pretty much every day. And I've been cranking through a bunch of books. And they're so necessary. It's like one of the best investments you can make is like this $13 book that could change your life. But you know, I buy a lot of courses as well, because once you've bought some courses, you realize, oh shit, their paid information is way better. And because otherwise they wouldn't have a business, right? So I invest a lot in my education, and I'm just constantly growing. And it's because I have a long-term vision. When people are like really scared to like invest in like coaching, and I know I'm a coach, so people think I'm like biased when I'm saying this. Like, please, I don't give a shit if you want like me as your coach. Just getting a coach in general, I'm talking about, is that if you had a 8-year vision, you would never be worried about buying a $1,000 course. You'd be like, I'm going to be in entrepreneurship for 8 years. The only people who are like, I don't know about buying a $1,000 course is, well, I don't even know if I'm going to be an entrepreneur in a year. Like, that's the thought that is going in the back of your mind. Am I right? Yes, I am. Because otherwise, it's a no-brainer to invest in your education when you have a long-term vision. But if you are missing that, so that's what I know. When people don't want to invest in like my programs, or they talk about coaching in ways like, is it even worth it? I know that all they're really saying is, does entrepreneurship even work? Like, what if I stick with it and it doesn't work? What if I invest in my education and it doesn't work? But when you have this, like, yeah, I'm in it till I win it no matter what mentality, then you're like, I better, you know, buy or at least spend as much of my time as I can investing in my education and getting there. So the patience is so necessary, guys, and that's something I have to keep reminding myself of, because for me, I really am a new online entrepreneur on the grand scale of things. I've been one for about 2.5 years actively, and then before that, I was researching online entrepreneurship for 6 months to a year. I was listening to like podcasts on it so I could kind of figure out which business model I wanted to do. And maybe some of you are in that same position right now where you're just thinking of like, all right, affiliate marketing, drop shipping, I don't know what I want to do. Course selling, like you're trying to figure it out. And every single entrepreneur goes through that. And mine was like 6 months to 12 months, like just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I've been an online entrepreneur for 2.5 years. Before that, I was in direct sales for 7.5 years. And when I remind myself, you're only like an online entrepreneur for 2.5 years, I'm like, where was I in direct sales after 2.5 years? Oh my God, I wasn't even good yet. Like, I thought I was good, but 7-year me, looking back at 2.5-year me, was not good at all. Like, he didn't know what the fuck he was doing at all compared to 7-year me. So when I look at like 2.5-year me now, I've already gone through like the entrepreneur journey, if you will, through this other opportunity, because even though it was sales, we were all independent contractors, and we all just work when you want to, do appointments when you want to, make phone calls when you want to. If you want to do 0 appointments for the week and make $0, you can. If you want to do 20 appointments and make however much, you can. It was just, it was my own business. It just wasn't my own product. And that really was the only difference between what I'm doing now versus then, apart from like some Facebook ad restrictions and stuff like that the company had before. But otherwise, the main difference was just that now I'm selling my own product and doing my own shipping and shit like that, and the infrastructure and the hiring. Okay, there's a lot different. But yeah, so that opportunity before, Like I said, after 2.5 years of like doing it every day, doing appointments, going to conferences, listening to talks, getting better, I still wasn't anywhere near where I was at 7 years. And if I stuck with it for another 10 years, like a lot of people do, year 17, I'd be looking back at year 7 like, oh man, I didn't even know what I was doing at all. So it's just okay. Just know that if you've been doing it for like a year or less, you're not supposed to be good at all. You're supposed to be good at a few things by now, okay? And you're going to play off of those. But to be good at everything and to just have your business crushing it overall would be amazing if you are. Like, you're kind of a prodigy in a way, if you're like crushing it after a year. Otherwise, know that you're not supposed to be there yet. And the reason why I say that is because all entrepreneurship is about is getting rid of your quitting thoughts. Okay, it is truly the embodiment of the expression, never give up. And everyone gets that saying. They get why it's important, but few people live by it. And that's why it's annoying when I hear people say that. And I'm like, you don't even know what that means though. Because you haven't gone through an experience where like you're not giving up until the last second and like then hit your goal like last minute. Like, I've had like a lot of stories. Like, this company was, I was so blessed to get from this company that I was with, because when you're in sales and they have all these sales contests, you have a lot of moments of failure and success. And when you put yourself in position to be either a failure or successful rather than just kind of moving along in life, then that's where you truly start to learn, and that's where you truly start to develop confidence, because then you actually have things that you can say about yourself. Oh yeah, one time I did $10,000 in sales in 2 weeks. Like, if someone was introducing you to a stage for public speaking and they say, give me some credentials on you, what would you say? If you don't have an answer to that, I would start working on things in your life and putting yourself in positions to accomplish things. Like, go do a 14er. I'm going to do a 14er in like two months, and I'll probably get my ass kicked. I don't care. I'm going to fucking put that on my belt, okay? I'm going to put that as something that I have as an accomplishment in my life. And you want to add those up in life so that you can, it's easier for you, you know, in entrepreneurship to establish credibility a lot quicker when you have these quantitative results where I've done this before and this, I've helped hundreds of people do this. You want to, you know, think, if you were getting announced to stage and they said, give me some credentials, what would you say? And if you don't have those, just start racking them up, okay? Just start rounding them up. And that comes with being patient throughout the process, because like even that example that I just said right there, like, oh, I did $10,000 in sales in 2 weeks. You know how many times I had to fail at that before I finally did that with my sales job? It took me like 2.5 years. Okay. And I'm at like 2.5 years right now in online entrepreneurship. And I would say that I'm farther ahead 2.5 years into online entrepreneurship compared to other online entrepreneurs than I was 2.5 years into sales than I was to other ones, even though I was still like, you know, 1% percentile in that business. And that's just how I do my shit, okay? Whatever you put me in, I'm going to strive to be the best until I am. And maybe not number one, but I just mean like in the top 10%, 1%. That's just going to naturally happen because my work ethic and my ability to not quit is going to beat out talented people with shitty mindset every single time. Like, they could easily beat me if all they did was stuck with it. You could easily do whatever the fuck you want if all you did was stuck with it until you got there and just knew that quitting was not an option at all. So the whole point of this episode, guys, is just to be like, entrepreneurship is hard. And through years of doing it, I've arrived at the same conclusion over and over and over. However, the one reason why I'm here is because I love that it's hard. Every time I fail, I laugh. And I am patient throughout the process because I've already, like I said, already kind of been through an entrepreneur journey on my own. And I know what doing something for 7 years versus 2 years feels like. And when I remind myself of where I'm at and where I'm going and like look at me now compared to last year and then look at that person compared to the year before that, it's always just such a strong reminder to me that you are so much better than you were last year. So why do you think you're failing? Even if you're not where you want to be, are you better than where you were last week? Are you better than last month? Are you better than last year? The answer to all those is probably yes. I'm sure it is yes to last year, but the work ethic, when you have strong work ethic, you'll be able to say, yeah, I'm better than I am now than last week. Like there's certain business opportunities that if someone asked me about right now, I'd be like, ask me in like 2 months. You know, like I'm about to do that hardcore. If you ask me in 2 months, I'm gonna have some great answers for you. Because I am working all the time. I am striving for my goals all the time, reading all the time, learning all the time, and just focusing on the daily actions, but having that patience of knowing that it's not gonna happen today and I'm gonna have to show up tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. But when you look at all these cases, like even the guy that I coach with, guys, Dan Henry, if you guys have been following me for a while, you've probably heard that. But Dan Henry, very successful entrepreneur, done over $10 million of online course sales. And he's owned a software company. He's done e-commerce. He's done like everything. And I'm personally 20. I'm currently 29 right now. And when he was 29, he was selling water bottles on the side of the road for a dollar, trying to make extra money to make ends meet. And it's just knowing there's so many people. And like, so now it's been like 4 years since then. So it's like, oh shit, like he is the product of what being an entrepreneur for 4 years is. Oh, now he's done it more. It's probably more like 6 or 7 years. And when he was 29, which is the age I am, he was selling water bottles. So why am I thinking I'm a failure if I'm not crushing it after 2.5 years, if I'm not getting, you know, 30,000 plays on every podcast episode, and, you know, I'm getting more like 2,000 or 3,000 plays. But if I wasn't getting 30, like what, why would I think I'm unsuccessful just because it didn't line up with like where I thought I would be? People love like it's the lazy brain in you that likes to say, if I can make you believe that you're bad at something, then we get to quit. How about that? The lazy brain in you likes to say, oh my God, if I can convince the rest of the brain that we're bad at something and we should have never started this and I don't know why we thought we'd be successful and all of that, then guess what? We get to quit today. We get to watch movies right now. We get to play video games after that. We're going to fucking light up a blunt. We're going to day drink. Okay, I'm day drinking. But I'm doing a podcast and it's appropriate. But, you know, I mean, like, get out of hand with it. Okay? And it's just, there's a lazy brain in you that will try to convince you that it is the logical part of your brain and that you need to chill out. You can't do it. You are a failure. Why did you think you could do it? No one in your family can do it. You don't have the genes to do it. You weren't born as a salesman. You don't have marketing experience. You don't know how to do computers well. You're not good with sending emails. Blah, 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 blah. Excuse, excuse, excuse. And yeah, guys. Oh shit, I'm going to add a fifth part. All right, guys, let's keep going. Fourth part is enjoying the process. I thoroughly enjoy the whole thing, okay? I thoroughly enjoy the whole process. Let me give you just a little more insight into me. So basically, a few months ago, I was looking for another way to make some extra money. I had bought a house a few years ago, and I was just paying my mortgage and living there. And then the opportunity came around to move in with some friends and pay rent there. And then I could rent out my old house. And I took that opportunity and moved into this house because the guy who bought it somehow found some amazing steel. And there's a ping pong table. There's a hot tub that's indoors. There's a pool table that's indoors. And there's an indoor gym in this house that I'm living in right now. Like truly blessed. And I'm just like renting here. But he bought the house and it's like just one of my good buddies and I got to like move in And I'm like working hard and doing all this shit. And I kind of have this moment. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the fisherman, where if I'm going to sum it up in as few words possible, like there's this fisherman that is living on this island and it is totally secluded. No like hospitals around, none of that other stuff. And he just fishes all day, comes home, plays guitar, hangs out with his family. And this Harvard businessman is taking a vacation there and he's talking to him and he's saying, well, why don't you open up a fish shop? Why don't you then, you know, do this, then you do this, then you do this, and you can expand and you can move to New York and you can do this and you can do all this stuff and you can run this successful business. And the fisherman keeps asking, okay, and then what? And then what? And then what? And then what? And eventually the story gets to a part where the Harvard businessman is like, you know, and then you can, like I was saying, like move to New York and expand the business, and then you can do an IPO and do an initial public offering and, you know, have your stock be available to the public and you can generate all this money there. And then he says, and then what? And he says, well, then you can move to a small coastal fishing village and retire. And he's already in that position right now. He's already living there with just less money and a lot less work on the way. And I kind of had that same moment when I was like just chilling at my house, working out. And I'm like, I need to be successful. And I was like, why? Or I need this to work. I need this to work. And it's like, well, then I can, you know, have a home gym. Then I can have an indoor hot. Like, I'm like, you are so blessed where you are. And it's about that. Okay. It's even if you don't have an indoor hot tub, it doesn't matter. Like, you have blessings and you have things to be grateful for now. And if you can realize those, that's very necessary to do along the journey, because otherwise you're going to think that it's the same as a hike. I always like going back to this hike. When you are halfway up Everest, is it a sweet view? Hell yeah. Okay. So realize that the journey is awesome too. Like, get a visual of where you are right now. Look at yourself of where you used to be a year ago and realize how far you've come, and know that you're still able to hang out with people in the evenings. You're still in touch with family. You're still playing video games when you want to, maybe reading a book for fun, not just for learning, and do things that you want to do along the way, because otherwise you're just going to lose sight of the whole reason that you're being an entrepreneur. And it's just to achieve those things. And it's to achieve those things that a lot of you already have right now before you've even gotten there. So be grateful. Like, practicing gratefulness, there's nothing that makes me get out of a negative mindset quicker than writing down three things that I'm grateful for, or at least just saying it out loud. And I encourage you guys to do the same, because it's really not frou-frou, like guru bullshit. Oh, what are you grateful for? It's like your mind, it's like psychologically, your mind can't possibly be stressed out and grateful at the same time. So if you can be grateful by just focusing like, all right, what's three things I'm grateful for, and just say those, you generally are going to be like, cool, like I'm good. Like, I have so many blessings and you're on the way to a journey, but it's not to say that you can't have fun on the way there. And that's really the only way to keep your mindset right when you're going through the struggles. It really relates to point number two that I was talking about, of being able to laugh at your failures is enjoying yourself through the process. Okay. So I had said that I was going to add a fifth thing, but now I can't even remember what that fifth thing is. And it doesn't have to do with the alcohol. It just has to do with, it's been a few minutes, but I think you guys get my point here. All right. All entrepreneurship is doing a difficult hike compared to a small one. It's just doing a double black diamond instead of a green circle run when you go snowboarding or skiing. It's just taking an AP class instead of a regular class, because the payoff is higher and it's more difficult. So if you can't get your mind wrapped around the part of, it's going to be difficult to come out with 100 podcast episodes and not miss a single week of putting one out. However, when I get to episode 100, it will be worth it. So I'm going to tell myself to shut the fuck up when it wants to chill out beforehand and not hit that goal. because I'm embracing the hard road because I want to get to the top of that mountain. I want that mountain, not this small one. I know it takes twice the time to get there. I know it's twice as hard. I know I might break my leg in the process. I know there's way more problems that wait for me, but I'm going to choose that road. And if you don't want to choose that road, that's totally fine. Okay? And that's the thing. It becomes, nowadays, the culture has so much become like entrepreneurs versus salary workers. And it's not that, because like the world needs both of us, really. But when the battle is just for you, realize you can do a salary job. And I know there's like a lot of, not all of them are 9 to 5 nowadays. You know, some of them are like, oh, it's Monday through Thursday, 8 to 6. And then you get Fridays off, like, or you come and go as you please. Like, they're getting more lenient with it than just like keeping you there 9 to 5, but you got your fixed salary and your income is not based off of your performance. And that's really like, I hate not getting paid off performance. I would so much rather do shit work and get paid $0 than do shit work and get paid a couple $100. Fuck that. If I do shit work, don't pay me shit. Okay. And that's why, like, I've been in a commission job for 8 years. Cause if I do awesome work, you pay me awesome. And I want it that way. I fucking hate. Oh my God. I would hate to make a set salary. Okay. And if you're okay with it, that's awesome. Okay. I'm just telling you, like, this episode is a little bit about you guys getting to know me, is that even if I didn't want to be an entrepreneur, I have to, because I hate being told when to show up somewhere. Can you shave your beard? Are you kidding me? Fuck you. You can pay me $1 million a year. You're going to tell me a dress code? Fuck off. There's no way I'm caving any bit of my freedom for a steady paycheck. And that's really what entrepreneurship is too, is just like, I don't care about a steady paycheck. I don't care about making $0. I care about another person having any control over what I do with my life in any way at all. And I don't care about failing because it's hilarious to me, but I do love having the position where I get to be creative. I get to invent what I want. I get to sell it for what I want. I get to, every bit of success that comes from the company that I build is 100% attributed to me. I'm always fairly paid, because even if I do shit work and make nothing, I was still fairly paid. And you don't have to worry about being in a building where people are getting paid $20,000 more a year than you, and you feel like they're a shit worker and you should have their job and your boss is stupid and they should promote you. It is about what shit sandwich you want to eat in life. Because everyone goes through problems. Like, you may have heard this analogy before of like, when you choose a job, realize what shit sandwich you want to eat, because like all of them have their crappy parts and all of them have their good parts. And you want to look at both, right? Like, all right, what are the good parts with this job? And then like, what's the shittiest part? Because that's really the only way that you can stick with something for a couple years, is if you can tolerate the shittiest part of it. And for me, like, this job that I almost took a couple years ago when I was like, maybe I won't be an entrepreneur. They were telling me like I was going to make probably like $130,000 the first year and like $250,000 the first year. It was 100% commission, but those were just what the average reps make. And when I heard, oh, the average rep makes $130,000, I'm like, cool, I'll make $170,000. Oh, the average rep makes $250,000 the second year. Cool, I'll make $280,000. I never hear average numbers as that's what I'll be. I'm like, I'll be the fucking person bringing up that average. Even if I don't end up being that person in the end, I'm going to attack it with that mentality, all right? People think I'm being cocky. I'm not. I'm telling you, that is the mentality that you need to attack your goals. Stop feeling like, well, I don't want people to think I'm cocky. Fuck them, okay? They're not doing shit anyways. If people think you're being cocky, you're probably doing shit right. You are being more confident than them, and that gap of confidence makes them think you're cocky. But for you to just simply say, oh, the average makes $150,000, I'm gonna make $175,000 then, there's nothing cocky about that. That is literally ambition. That is motivation and ambition and goal setting. And to look down on that as, well, I wanna be conservative with my numbers and with my mindset, is just saying that I'm okay living an average life. And that's another, oh my God, I knew I would just go off on tangents on this episode, but that's just another thing there is like, fear of living an average life is one of the biggest things that makes people have to be an entrepreneur. And an average life is purely based off of what your definition is for it. But I know, you know, my parents are salary workers and they always have been. And that's how they truly want it. And just knowing them, they would never want to be entrepreneurs. They would hate it. Oh my God, they would hate it. But at the same time, they, you know, have like lazy ass weekends most of the time. And I'm like, I hate that. So I'm not going to do that. So being an entrepreneur, guys, if you're doing it because it's cool, you're probably not going to last. If you're doing it for the money, you're not going to last. If you're doing it for, I just hate to work for someone else, you're probably more likely to make it. Like it is part, it's based off of like what you want, but it's also about what you don't want. And like when you have to be an entrepreneur is when you like hate what the alternative is. And then now you're in a position of, cool, well, I guess I'll do whatever it takes to be an entrepreneur. And I'll be patient through the process. I will laugh at my failures along the way because quitting is not an option. And I don't care if it's hard because doing the easy thing is also not an option because it won't lead me to happiness. If entrepreneurship would make you happy, it's the path you should do. If entrepreneurship would, if you can be happy living the, you know, salary worker, like more safe life, if you will, and who's to say it's like really more safe in the end? Because maybe you're like, I'm going to have a safe job, but then I'm going to have like four kids and I'm going to be more risky in that department, you know, like it would be hard to have multiple kids and be an entrepreneur. I get that. Like it, like now I'm just being risky in every form of my life. And maybe you don't want to be risky in every single thing that you do. But if it's in career, you know, I couldn't stand it right now. Like it's 3:20 PM on a Wednesday. I couldn't stand it if I was working somewhere where there it's like, oh, as soon as 5 o'clock hits, I'm out of here. Like I really wouldn't like that. Even though the alternative for me right now is I'm like, it's 3:20 and after this episode, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And like at 9 PM, I'll stop working. Like it's crazy. Cause like entrepreneurs really do trade a 40-hour work week. They hate the idea of a 40-hour work week. So they work 80-hour work weeks is like what it is for years. And even once you get successful, then you're like, all right, do you want to be more successful or cash out now? And just the human nature usually makes you want more. So most entrepreneurs just keep going. They don't just like, cool, now I have an automated business and I retired or whatever. And that's why a lot of people who are like just trying to live that laptop lifestyle where they just make money and they just live on the beach don't usually last because they don't really have the work ethic that it takes to be able to have that type of business and go through the amount of failures that it takes to have that type of business. You're very likely not going to create that the first business venture that you do. But whatever the first business venture you do is, even if it's a complete failure, you will know, man, if I didn't do that, there's no way I could have opened up my second business successfully. Okay, like when people say, oh yeah, 90% of businesses fail their first time. Do you hear that stat and you're like, oh no? Or are you like, cool, my goal is to be in the 10% of people. And if I end up being in that 90% of people, then 30% of businesses make it their second time around. Like there's some crazy stat like that. It's like this success rate is so much higher for the people who do it the second time. And like, I just could never be on my deathbed. Like I failed and then I never tried again. Like I just couldn't do it. So it's just being in it until you win it. Like I've said a few times, like entrepreneurship is literally just saying, I'm going to hike Mount Everest and I'm in it until I get to the top. No matter how many times I break my leg there. And when I break my leg, I'm going to laugh because fuck it. We're all going to die someday anyways. And it's just kind of funny. That's entrepreneurship in the eyes of Derek Vidal, at least, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know I probably lost a lot of you somewhere along the way because this is a very off-the-cuff episode where I'm just kind of ranting and doing my thing. But this was an episode that I wanted to let you guys get to know me a little bit more. because it's episode 100 now, and you should probably know a little bit more about me than just like my hashtag strategy. And I just want to thank you guys so much. And again, as a way of saying thank you, you can go to the description of this podcast episode. You can enter to win one of three coaching calls that I'll be giving away for free. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be like this podcast episode, but as if you could talk the whole time. But we're only talking about whatever the hell you need in business. Like I had a student of mine that I talked to on the phone recently, and he's like, dude, that was like you made a podcast but just for me, and I could talk. And that's why I said that. I was like, yeah, it kind of is what it was. Like, it's as if we could actually talk. So can't wait to see who wins this. Can't wait to see where your what your businesses are and where we can take them in just a few short hours of being on a call. I promise it's going to be a big game changer for you, no matter what your business is. There has not been a single call I've ever had that I've been not been like, wow, I just fix that person's shit. So I hope that it's you that I get to fix your shit next. Just go to the link in the description and enter. And if you are really ambitious and motivated and willing to embrace hard things, then there will be some ways for you to gain additional entries on the back end. Guys, my name is Derek Fidel. Thank you again so much for listening to the entirety of this episode and keeping up with my show. Here is 100 episodes of Instagram Marketing Secrets now published, and I am out.